Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. It's Mark Potash. Potsy coming up on Hallis Intrigue. We will talk about a piece of good news in Bears land and some bad news in the medical tent. All that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Potsy, at noon on Wednesday, it became official. Steve McMichael is probably the next Bears player to go to the Hall of Fame. He was part of the senior committee group that got whittled down from 12 to 3, and those three will be voted on before the Super Bowl. It is almost a slam dunk that all three will be passed through. That's typically what happens in this case. Is he deserving or not?
I think in the context of the Hall of Fame now, I think he is deserving. Really happy. It's a little bittersweet because of Mongo's personal health situation. It's very, no matter whether he's in the Hall of Fame or not, that's a really distressing thing for, I think, any Bear fan, anyone who knows Mongo. So that's tough. But I think it's important for the family. Mongo, I think, is, say, you know, I think he's pretty confident in what he did in the NFL. I think overall, I don't think he needed that validation of the Hall of Fame. It's great. I'm not downplaying it. But and it is great that he's able to recognize that. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. I think part of the greatness of Mongo and what he meant to the Bears is that he doesn't need a Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't need that. I feel, you know, his legacy to me is just that. You know, like I said, he's a heart and soul guy on a team of heart and soul guys, and that speaks well for a guy who was not, like all the other heart and soul guys, first and second round draft picks, top 10 picks like Peyton, McMahon, and Hampton.
He was just cut by the Patriots and signed by the Bears two months later.
He's just everything you want in a Bear. And again, I say that's not because of his physical condition, his health situation. I think everyone's always felt that. He was always, like I said, the heart and soul of that team. Mm-hmm. But they had so many characters that wasn't so evident. But yeah, so overall, yeah, my feeling is deserving. Especially in the context of the NFL, of the Hall of Fame, just happy for the family and happy for Mongo.
And I went and looked up your list of the top 100 Bears of all time. You did that in 2019. Mongo, I think, was 17th or 18th, somewhere 17th, and the 16 above him were all Hall of Famers.
There you go.
As somebody who lived through it in a way that I didn't, I think people my age might know Mongo the wrestler, Mongo the big mouth pregame show host, Mongo the personality. As a football player, though, I think people forget he's second all time in sacks by a Bear, third all time in tackles.
Strictly an interior guy too. That's something I think you could appreciate in today's game.
Absolutely.
He benefited by playing with some great players. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to say. Mongo as a player was just relentless and dependable. Mm-hmm. I think those are probably the two things that I remember most about him, is that he always played in an era where not everybody holds up. He had to give it all. You know, that's one of the things why so many injuries, guys are always giving their all. He gave it his all and was always there. Mm-hmm. And you know, no matter what he was doing, whether he was wrestling or playing football or on the practice, he backed up everything. That was the thing about Mongo. You know, he talked a big game and he backed it up and he told it like it is. And I think that's why, it's just one of many reasons why he was a great Bear. Just for him to stand out. Like, you know, here, this is not revisionist history. Mongo stood out as one of the great Bears, even in 1985, mm-hmm. when he was just in the middle of a team of absolute personalities. And that's, you know, so it's not like all of a sudden now you're coming to this appreciation of him. I think he was appreciated for just being just a great, just what everybody wants. It's a cliche, but what everybody wants a Chicago Bear to be about. Mm-hmm. He was it as a player. And it's just a shame to see his demise like this. It's, you know, 65 is very young and for anybody.
Right.
And but it just makes you cherish all the good things that he represented with the Bears.
He has ALS, obviously. He is bedridden. He can't talk anymore. He can communicate using some software in which he moves his eyes. I went down on Tuesday night to see his wife, Misty, who ostensibly was at a party to celebrate Mongo, but could not say exactly whether or not he'd gotten in. We know now she got the phone call in the afternoon, but suffice it to say, she was having herself a good time. At one point, she FaceTimed with Mongo, who was still at home. He's still fighting pneumonia, actually, at their house. And she walked around with the phone, holding it out just so he can see the reception for him and the love people had for him. That was very cool.
As you noted, everything about Mongo was a party.
Yeah.
From here on out, everything about Mongo will be a party, and that's the way he wants it. You know, everyone knows him. That's the way he wants it.
Yes. Four members of the 85 Bears defense now in the Hall of Fame, correct? Richard Dent, Dan Hampton, Mike Singletary.
And Peyton.
Defense.
Oh, the defense, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so four, is that, I know within the Cook County limits, you will get no argument that it's the greatest defense of all time. Does adding an extra Hall of Famer to the pile there change anything in your mind or reinforce anything in your mind?
No, I think they're good enough that everybody wants to think they were the best defense. It's so hard to quantify that.
Sure.
You know, I have a lot of respect for the Steelers defense. I grew up with those defenses watching the NFL. I'm certainly not going to argue against that. The Ravens with Ray Lewis and that group, they have equal claim to it. I'm trying to think who else is
I'll tell you a story. Do you remember the Super Bowl we went to in San Francisco where it was the Panthers and the Broncos?
I do remember that.
And it was a very ugly offensive game. And when the Broncos won, a couple of their defensive players were talking about how they were the best ever. And I got home the next day and I called Mongo. Mongo was essentially Mongo took that about the way you would expect Mongo to take it, which is to say, you better go to the library and do some research.
And I
think he understood. I think he was happy for the Broncos. I think he was happy to see a dominant defense, but he was not having it if you tried to say that you were better than
the 85 Bears. All the great defenses had a personality, but the sheer force of the personality of that Bears defense kind of at least puts them over the top. They win that game. They win the debate because they've got just the type of team that can make a great debate. So, like I said, I think they're all worthy. I don't think you can say one of all those groups better. But the Bears certainly earned the right to stake a claim to that. That's the best defense ever. They were phenomenal.
I think
they got better at the end. They were stronger at the end than at the beginning. I think they gave up. I remember talking to Mongo. I think they had me on a pregame show or something. I was just reminding him that that defense gave up 28 points in the first half against the Buccaneers in 85, but ended up with, I think, almost three shutouts in the playoffs.
I was going to say, did they give up 15 points in the playoffs total?
Probably not. Well, let's see, 10, right?
Yep.
And then two shutouts, so 10.
I know Bears fans can be frustrated with the Hall of Fame. I think some people have had questions about why Devin Hester isn't in already. But I think it's, and you made reference to this earlier, I think suffice it to say that Hall of Fame voting and kind of who they let in and who they don't let in is just kind of goofy. And I think it's such an eye of the beholder thing that it's hard to give it a good reason when fans say, why is my favorite player not in? It's hard to give an answer other than the 49 voters, the 49 voters in the main committee, not the senior committee, but they have personal tastes just like the rest of us.
Well, I have an issue with all halls of fame, and Hall of Fame is like a triangle or like a bell in that it gets wider and wider, and the more people who get in and the lower end of that opens the door for so many more. I mean, there were very few players who were better than Walter Payton, who can claim to be better than Walter Payton. But frankly, there's a whole lot of players who can claim they were as good as Mongo, and so this is going to open the door for other players. And that's my issue with the Hall of Fame in baseball and any sport, especially baseball. It needs to be a lot more exclusive. And my Hall of Fame, not personal preference, my Hall of Fame would be a lot more exclusive in all sports.
And the baseball hall is the most exclusive of the group by a wide margin, I think.
Right.
Yes.
Right. I always say my definition of a Hall of Famer, and this is probably more of a baseball thing, but maybe also a football thing, is they have to have been a Hall of Famer or look like a Hall of Famer while I was watching them play.
Okay.
In other words, accumulating statistics over a long period of time doesn't. If you were just very good for a long time, that doesn't make you, in my opinion, it doesn't make you a Hall of Famer.
I will present a conundrum to you, Potsy, which is the intersection of the point you just made, but also what I know about you, which is you love Chicago.
Right.
The perfect example you are thinking of right now is Harold Baines. Harold Baines. Yeah.
Harold Baines should not be in the Hall of Fame. He's not.
There we go.
Hall of Fame.
That's what I was thinking.
Because it wasn't like when I watched him. I was watching a very good baseball player. Yeah. God bless him.
Right.
But yeah, it's a good example.
And now every single time anybody's favorite player is up for the Hall of Fame, they sit there and go like, "Well, Harold Baines is in.
Right.
Why isn't my guy in?" And
opens the door. That's the problem. You know, if you look, at the beginning, the very first class in baseball Hall of Fame, not to get off track here, but was 50 years. It was the best players from basically 35 years. It was around 1935, 36. Okay. And then they did it every other year.
Right.
And then now they do it every year.
Right.
If you would pick the Hall of Fame every 5 years, it would be a lot more exclusive than it is.
Right.
When you have it every year, it just opens the door because you have so many more players. If you would give it more time, I would love to recast the Hall of Fame, just doing it in 5 year increments, and you'd see it would not be nearly as inclusive.
But you can't fill you can't fill as many hotel rooms or
I don't know
golf courses.
I don't know how they went from every other year in the 40s, I think it was, to every year. I'll have to look that up and see. But that's where they went. I mean, look at the first baseball class ever. It's no doubt about it.
Right,
no doubt about it. And then all of a sudden you start getting, I always say Robert Moranville was the guy who opened the door for the Hall of Fame.
Look at that pull.
Once he made it, then all of a sudden every, Bill Mazeroski, every player was, every player who was a very good or a good fielder or whatever was in, and it wasn't nearly as exclusive. And that was probably early 50s, late 40s, I guess.
I think Mongo, when you look at the other 11 people in that were semifinalists, Mongo is no less deserving than any of them.
Well, that's the point.
I don't pretend to be a historian in that I could be, nor do I want to be granular enough to sit there and say these three are absolutely more deserving than the other nine. But I know that anybody who watched Mongo here, especially, you have to be thrilled for him. And this will be really cool. We'll see. One of the dark, sad things about all this is that Mongo's wife, Misty, tore up his do not resuscitate because she wanted him to live to see this day.
Right.
And you just sit there and go, now what? Can he make it to August?
Yeah.
Jared Payton's going to induct him, I believe. That'll be worth the price of admission.
We'll be there.
Yeah, we will. Real quick, Potsy, before we go. Very long line at the in the injury tent here with the Chicago Bears. Cole Kmet got hurt in practice today. We're limited in what we can say in a closed practice, but suffice it to say he walked.
Who's Cole Kmet?
Cole Kmet's a tight end for the – yeah, it was Cole Kmet. He's number 85. He walked he was down. He got up. He eventually walked over to a cart and was driven across a very, 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 very hot Hallis Hall campus back toward the injury room. That obviously would be bad news for them. But just not wanting to speculate too much. Writ large, they are – boy, you could make a really – if you made a team of their injured players, that team would beat last year's Bears, I think. You can make a pretty good all-star team, maybe not all-star, a pretty good starting lineup out of these guys, whether it is Darnell Wright, the first-round pick who just got hurt, Tevin Jenkins, you've got Yannick Ngakoue,
Brisker,
Eddie Jackson, DeMarcus Walker. All you have is the Bears' two edge rushers, their middle linebacker, both their safeties, tight end, a bunch of receivers, including Chase Claypool, Velus Jones. Is it time to freak out? We got 2.5 weeks before the season starts.
No, I think this is a time where you do not have to freak out. Probably shouldn't. I really think this is always tough because they're always going to downplay injuries, and the team is. And sometimes it's not it's worse than it looks. But I'm convinced based on what I've seen that the majority of these injuries, the key ones, I think Eddie Jackson will be there in week one. I think Brisker will be there. Tremaine Edmonds, we talked to him today. I think he will be
there. He said he'd be there.
I think Walker and Ngakoue will both be there. I look at, my definition of long-term, when we talked to Matt Eberflus, he said he would only talk about injuries that are long-term. And to me, long-term is, are you available? Will you be available for week one? And the ones that right now I'm most concerned about are Tevin Jenkins.
Obviously.
That looks very doubtful for week one. Cole Kmet, I don't know. We just don't know. And Darnell Wright, I'm kind of in between. It doesn't look imminent return. Who knows? So there is some concern, but I think the thing that makes the numbers, which you're, right. You're pointing to, which really makes it kind of look ominous, I don't think that's going to end up being as bad as it looks when they kick off against the Packers on September 10th.
The Bears have a preseason game Saturday at home against the Bills. Does this injury stuff inform the way you think they will play the game? Matt Eberflus, Thursday afternoon, I think will tell us at least what he plans on doing with Justin Fields.
I think that's a clincher that the Fields in the first team, at least offensive line, will not play. And I don't think, just for them, it'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? As careful as they've been about injuries and preseason, they're going to put a makeshift offensive line in front of their franchise quarterback. That doesn't seem like they were heading in that direction anyway. Even at full strength, they might not have played. I really feel like they're a huge emphasis this year, more than recent years, in practice, progressing through practice, especially for a formative team like the Bears. So I don't think they will. I think they could play some. I think it'd be token, although do you really need token
at this point?
Snaps? I don't think you do. I think that, like I said, preseason kind of dying. So so I'm not expecting a whole lot. If some play, that I guess that's fine. But I just don't think there's a whole lot to get out of it. That's my point. As I used to be saying, play more. But I don't think you can get a whole lot out of because of what the other teams are doing.
Yep.
It's just not the sharpening tool that it used to be.
Right.
And I just don't think it's effective.
And we're also in a world now too where, as opposed to even 30 years ago, players are. With trainers year round, come in pretty good shape. I think they're starting off sharper maybe than they did a generation ago too, or certainly two and three generations ago.
I agree with that, but also I think
I bet you Mongo didn't show up at camp ready to play.
Well, those stories of those training camps are legendary in practice. But anyway, I think it's also good. It'll be interesting to see if, and this again, I might be just buying something that isn't worth buying, but you know. Eberflus is big on practice, and he wants competitive practices, and maybe that's why guys are getting at least banged up enough to not be able to practice. So I think they feel like there's a benefit they get out of practice, like the old Tibbs practices with the Bulls. You know, they eventually had a cost, but they were so intense they developed a mental toughness in those teams that really made them tough to beat. And I think Eberflus, more of an old school guy, has that same philosophy: is that he will toughen them up. Callous them was the Matt Nagy word, right?
Yep.
Sorry about that. Through practice, and I think that's maybe. I think you could argue that that's why they have so many guys with little injuries that they got to work through, and maybe it'll clear up. Maybe it won't, but it'll be interesting to see because I think we're coming. And I know it's. I keep saying the same thing, but I really think we're at the point where they value practice more than they do the game. So, and the other thing is, everybody's in the same boat now.
Right.
Pretty much. I know the Packers played some of their starters, but not a lot of defensive guys have had starter snaps in the first two preseason games. Mm-hmm. So I think that might not be the disadvantage, especially without one of them being 12.
We will check in from that game and be with you through cut day on Tuesday and then the long march to the first game against the Packers. Until then, you can follow Jason Leisure, Mark Potash, and myself on social media. Check us out on the Sun-Times website. And if you live in town, please pick up a newspaper. He's Mark Potash. I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.